Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear
that? He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. This got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's Swamps.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Viscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Viscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Outrageously fantastic. That's how good I feel. Wow. Man, I got so much to share with you guys around the globe tonight and so much to be grateful for. And I got to tell you one thing that I'm very grateful for. My co-host is at least listening to us tonight. That's right, folks. The man himself, the rock star, Rocky, he is here and listening to us. Let me just give you an update on him. You know, he's had, those of you who haven't had your ears on, he was the one who developed COVID, and he fought that shit for too much long, and it's still going on with him. It's affected a lot of his functions, but he's fighting back, and he's fighting back really hard. And like he says, Tom, he says, you have no idea how antsy I'm getting, man. He says, you know, like you get cabin fever. You want to get out there and you have boots on the ground, get out there and be in the, with the guys out in the woods. He says, I'm about that way myself right now. He says, but they got me shackled down. And I totally understand, Rocky, but we got a hell of a show for you tonight. I think you're going to really enjoy it. And we got his sidekick, his the man that's like his brother but isn't, but he's a brother from another mother. Well, I'll tell you what, we got the Swede with us tonight, and this poor guy, his family was plagued with the COVID. He's been inundated with so much business that he can't stand it, and he doesn't know which end is up. And then, of course, we got my we got Father Reyes with us tonight. We got Doyle. Where would I be without my Doyle? Because Doyle, and that's not the fruit store company, ladies and gentlemen, that makes Hawaiian pineapples. It's his first name, and he's a stand-up dude. He's been with us for a long, long time, and hopefully he'll be with us for an extra long time. And those of you who don't know and has been asking about him and everything, he did not go into the hospital for his operation 2 days ago. They discontinued, and they're postponing it until another time, I guess. This we'll find out when we get him on the line. But without any further ado, I want everybody to go to our website, searchingforbigfoot.com. And as you scroll down right past our Monsters, Myths, and Movies, Monsters, Myths, and Pooh, you bastard, Monsters, Myths, and Mysteries, that's a tongue-tied word for you, the production funding thing, right underneath there on March 17th, 2022, you're going to see evidence, Bigfoot evidence report in Georgia, a burial find. And then you click there, it says see report and photos. And that's who we're going to be talking about here in the first top of the show. And you're going to see what's happened here. And I'm just going to read to you what it says on the screen. And this is, I'm parroting this gentleman's name, Travis, in North Georgia. I found this in the mountains of North Georgia, and I'm not sure what it is. But I will try to explain what I think it is the best I can. It looks to me like this is some type of wood product that was possibly used in the burial of this creature. It is like it has been mummified. There is a bird on top of its head, but the tail and head has been broken off. I'm not sure, but I think there may be some teeth left. It looks like it broke off from the body. And then you see a series of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 right now pictures that he was kind enough to send us and share with you folks around the globe. And at the same point in time, I'm going to tell you guys, he uses the word mummified. I'm going to use the word petrified. And there's a lot of difference between the two. But I've got to tell you, you need to take a look at this because the actual man is with us tonight, Travis, from back there. And without any further ado, let's get him on the line. Travis, you out there? Travis, that you?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Good evening. How are you, sir?
I'm good, sir. How about yourself?
I'm very well, Travis, and thank you for taking up your time of your evening. I know it could be a lot better places, and because I know it's after 10 o'clock out down there by you. And how's the weather been down there?
It's been pretty windy and stormy yesterday.
Okay.
But, it's warm anyway.
Can you do me a favor? Are you on a speakerphone or a regular phone?
I'm on a speakerphone.
Okay, you got to get off the speakerphone because it's reverting back in the studio.
How's that? Is that better?
It's somewhat better. Are you by a radio or anything?
No, sir.
Okay, you're off speaker?
Yeah. Phone reception don't pick up too good here in the mountains.
Okay, all right. So what I want you to do, I'm going to relinquish the mic to you, and I want you to give us a – don't leave nothing out about this. And a good friend of mine, KB, used to say, tell me everything. Don't leave nothing out. You've got the floor, Travis. Tell us exactly how these pictures came about.
Well, it looks to me like it's some kind of wood product that they've used for the plaster. It looks like they wrapped it somehow because the inside of it's hollowed out where it looks like maybe the bones and stuff had decayed. And it's some kind of, I'm not sure, I've looked on the internet and I can't figure out what kind of ceremony that I don't know where the Indians done it for them or what, but it's got a bird on top of its head. And it's small, so it's had to have been like a youth. It's just crazy looking. I mean, I don't know. I didn't know whether it'd be Bigfoot or the Indians has got a myth about a bird man or what it could be, you know. But there's a black film where its mouth is, and it looks to me like there's a tooth or two left. And that black film, I'm sure that skin, that's the cade. I'm not sure how to explain it, but I don't know. It's just the oddest thing I've ever seen.
Well, you know, when I look at it, you know, I'm seeing possible skin. Yes. I see that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you send us out that sample, I'll have the lab go over it. And then that one picture looks like skin of an alligator. You know which one I'm talking about?
I'm not sure which one you're talking about. It looks like they cut the I don't know, it'd be like kind of like a casting around it. The it's not the same thickness. The pieces that they've used are not the same pieces or thickness. That's what I noticed about it whenever I found it, and the grains.
Okay, so here's what we need to do, Travis, to keep everything in text. Why don't you tell us what made you go out there? What were you doing until the point you did find it? And how did you stumble upon it? Did you have to dig for it? Whatever.
Well, I pretty much stay in the woods all the time. I try to live off, make it by digging ginseng and mushrooms and ramps and whatnot. But I was just strolling along and seen it laying there and picked it up. I didn't really pay much attention to it till I got it home and got to looking at it. And it's like, wow, this is pretty amazing. So I sent the Smithsonian Institute some pictures of it. And they told me that they was going to get with their paleology department and try to figure it out. And the only emails that they responded to was one that was with illicit future interest in it. So, but they never got back with me on it. So I didn't really know what to do with it.
So what made you think it was Bigfoot?
Well, I mean, what else could it be? You know, the pictures of Bigfoot that they've got on the internet that people think it looks like, that thing looks pretty much just like it, but a small one, you know, it's real small.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably about the size of a grapefruit. The head is, and it the way that it looks like that it the way the where it broke off at it looks like it was attached to the body also, but the head broke off the body somehow. And I need to go back up there where I found it. If it turns out to be anything that's real, I'm going to go back and see if I can find the rest of the body.
Okay, so how far is this on an open trail? Is it a park? Is it a gated community? What is it?
Actually, it's on a buddy of mine's got some land here next to the lake, and I was hunting ginseng down here on it, and I stumbled across it down here.
So let me see if I understand this. You're walking out foraging for food, right? You said you do mushrooms and stuff like that.
Yes, sir.
And the next thing you find out, you've seen this thing and was above ground, so you didn't dig for it, right?
No, sir. It was laid above ground.
Okay.
And there weren't no leaves or nothing on top of it either. It's just like something dropped it there or something.
Okay.
And it wasn't muddy or anything, so it hadn't been dug up or nothing like that either.
All right. So it had been in there in the elements for a while.
I'm sure. Well, the mouth of it, I've had it for a few months now, and the mouth of it has got wider, so I don't think it's been in the elements that too awful long. I don't know, to be honest with you. I'm not sure.
So which one, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt here, and the thing I don't see is this bird on top of it. Where do you see the bird?
I took a picture of the top of its head. I'm not sure if the pictures I sent you, you could tell it bought, but if you look at the top of its head, you see a hole in the backside and a little hole in front. That's where the tail and the head has been broke off of it. But you can see the wings, the whole layout of the bird on the very top of its head, small bird. Not sure what kind it would be, but.
So could have this been
a nest? It's a bird, nonetheless.
You think this could have been a nest?
No. This is some. I think my belief is it's some kind of ceremonial something that they've done ceremonial to bury it. That's what I don't know. That's why I was wanting somebody, the expert, to look at it and tell me, you know, what it is.
And believe me, as soon as we get a, you know, I really don't think anybody can look at the photos. It's 1, 2, 3. You sent me 4 photos, and each one is different, of course, different angles anyway, and I appreciate that. I still really don't see the bird, although when, you know, you look at something long enough and you imagine, you can vision something, something is there, and what it is, I don't know.
You can see it. You can see it clear whenever you hold it in your hand. You can tell that it's definitely a bird on top of its head.
Okay, all right. Let me bring Dorley in. Dorley, you there? Lady Kim, is Doral with us?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, did you go and pull these pictures up?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of wishy-washy with me. I don't know if I'm guessing that if it is what we think it might be, it's definitely got to be like a small juvenile or a child, I think.
Well, that's what Travis is saying, you know, saying, okay? He says it's not as big, you know, as a pineapple, that's all that. Or what did you say it was, Travis?
About as big as a grapefruit, large grapefruit.
That's it, a grapefruit, yeah.
I mean, a cantaloupe, cantaloupes. I mean, cantaloupe,
no,
not grapefruit, but cantaloupe.
All right. So I'm just having trouble. Do you see the bird at all, Doyle?
No, I'm not getting it either.
Yeah, I can't see that.
I'll take some better pictures of it when I get back home, and I'll send them to you tonight. And I'll get it to where you can see the bird.
Well, I'll tell you, the first picture the first picture, if you go down to the third one, it's the same as the first, but it's enlarged. And if you look all the way to the left, you'll see something that's a white thing that's in there. It's whiter than everything else. I'm seeing 2 eyes, a nose, and a mouth. You see that, Doyle?
Yep.
Did you notice that, Travis?
I can't really see the eyes of it, but the mouth is definitely clear.
I'm looking at it right now as if you were standing here in front of me. And I'm seeing 2 eyes, a nose, and a mouth. And over the right eye, it looks like an eyebrow looking straight at me. What do you see, Doyle?
I'm about right with you, Tom. I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking it's something juvenile. It's small. I don't know, man. I'd like to see this thing in person.
You bet. Yeah. I can't wait to have the thing sent through the lab and see, you know, how old the thing is, number one, to see what they come up with.
What part of it do you want me to break off to send you?
Well,
you
said that there may be teeth, some teeth left.
Right.
Can we see the teeth in these pictures?
I believe so. I believe there's one picture of its mouth there that you can see the teeth on.
Is it the second one?
I think I'm not sure what pictures I sent you, but I think
when I look at the second one that we have on our website, Travis, to really what that looks like to me, it looks like a dried up part of an alligator. It looks like alligator skin. Are you following me on this, Doyle?
Yeah, I've got you.
Is the second one there? You see, it looks like petrified or mummified part of part of an alligator because of the lines and the roughness on it there. So are you saying that big hollow spot in the front, you said since you've left it out of the elements, that's the mouth and it's gotten bigger, Travis?
The mouth has cracked more, like it's dried out or something a lot. And the mouth has definitely got a little bigger, more distinct, I should say. The mouth has.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you straight up, dude. You really clinched my ass. I've been through it all in half a century, and I'm just bewildered. You know, we've got the Beard of Knowledge on the show. I don't know if he's got the picture up on his computer or not. Sweet, are you with us?
I am. I've just been in here listening. I had a couple of questions, but go ahead.
Well, did you see these pictures?
I have not seen the pictures. This is the first I've even heard about it.
Besides, so you just giving me the holler, the courtesy call this afternoon.
Okay, well, listen here. Ladies and gentlemen, we got the Swede on the phone with us. You know how I respect this man more than a lot of people in this world, and we call him the Beard of Knowledge. So, but not even right. In the pitches, but what you heard already. What's the questions you got for Travis?
Well, there was Travis. Congratulations on your find, and I was
listening to your
description of your site there, and you said it wasn't dug up and that it may not have been there, or somebody may have dropped it. So it was your find was laying on top of the leaf litter.
It was. It's like there was a tree that fell down, and right at the edge of the lap of that tree, it was laying there. When I first seen it, I thought it was a big knot that broke off the tree or something until I picked it up.
So was there a possibility that your item was in that tree? Was the tree hollow or something, or do you have any?
I've wondered that myself, but the tree wasn't big enough. I'm pretty sure that this thing's going to be really old, ever what it is, and the tree just there just ain't no trees around that's old that it could have grown up in. Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay, if it would have been in something, and I'm just putting my 2 cents worth in. I do not have a PhD, but common sense and experience tells me that you may mention that maybe the mouth may be. Having some physiological changes, decomposition is only going to be halted by just a couple of things. Either it's overburdened or it's in some kind of a mummified state. So either it came out of something or it was dug up for something, because if it was out on the ground, then any viable tissue would have been way history. So it's either real new or it was in something or it come out of something. So that might be something that you might want to go back and look and see. And you said it was in some kind of a structure. Could have been inside of the tree or whatever. If it's big enough to hold it, there's been lots of stuff mummified inside of a tree. It's been proven. I've seen squirrels that were inside of a tree and it looked like it just like the hair just fell off of it and it was totally mummified. That's a very interesting find that you have there, and I hope that there's some kind of way that you can work with Tom and get some of that in some form or fashion to where he can give it to his experts and the people in the know that do have the PhDs. But when you say it's making some kind of a physiological change, like that mouth is moving or something, tells me that it's either been in some kind of a state of animation, or it's been dug up, one of the two, or frozen.
Right.
You know, obviously, it's not frozen solid in Georgia, I take it. So some of those details where you found it, it's up on top of the leaf litter, look around, see if it could have come out of something, you know. Big wild tree that's hollowed out there or something. Another man got pitched out or whatever. Who knows?
Right.
I'm going to guess animal action, Swede. That's what I'm saying. You know, there's lots of critters that do, and, you know, there's scavenger stuff that could throw stuff all over the place, and, you know, fossilization and preservation. It has to be. There's a very, very minute amount of that happens because of all the critters out there. Just like Doyle says, well, you know, it'll just, they'll eat it up. The squirrels will chew the bones up, rats, anything with a pair of incisors will chew that stuff up, and it'll be gone, gone, gone quick. So you found the real gem there. You found the gem, no doubt. If it's anything preserved, even it would be very interesting to see what it might be.
I was thinking, the reason I was thinking it's mummified there, it's also is on the inside where it's the flesh or whatever is rotted out. Like, you see how its nose and its mouth stick out, kind of like a that's it's rotted out in the inside just like that. Too, also, like it was definitely the same shape as the outside of it before when it was done like that.
Well, I would definitely,
we'll find out as soon as you send a piece of that to us. I'll send it down to the lab here at Stanford, and they'll come back quick. Yeah, well, yeah. I use them, and I use UC Davis, and they come back within a week, 10 days, and they'll tell me exactly what it is. But I want to thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, Travis, to sharing with us and the people around the globe about Bigfoot and about your find. It means an awful lot. And I want you to stay with us. Just mute yourself, or Lady Kim will be doing that to mute you, and I call you back in, because in about 3-4 minutes, I got a unique call tonight from a gentleman that I didn't believe him. I thought it was a crank call, and I apologized for that because we get so many calls, you know. But he had said something to me that hit home when I was a young man. And he said, I've had a couple of experiences that shaped his reality. Now, how many people in your life would ever tell you something like that? Not many. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have him on the show in about 4 minutes. And so far, we don't see him on the line, but we will. I'm sure he will if he had any truth into what he was saying. And he's going to talk about his experiences, but Lady Kim just said no. But before you go, Father Ray, are you with us? Father Ray?
Ew.
Okay, were you napping, were you?
I'm working. I'm washing dishes.
See, beautiful. So, have you been listening to the show? I guess you didn't have a chance to...
I have you on speaker here. I hear you very clearly, but I couldn't hear anyone else clearly. I heard voices.
Okay. So, did you get a chance to see the pictures?
No.
Okay.
No, I did not.
All right.
I'm not at home, and even if I was home, my laptop is in the shop getting repaired.
Well, then you're in all kinds of turmoil right now. Washing dishes, can't hear nobody else, and your laptop is getting repaired. I understand, but at least you're loyal enough to keep calling us each and every week. And you got anything to say to our loyal listeners that want to know about you?
Ask and I'll tell you. I'm only too happy to tell you about myself, whatever you want to know.
Okay. Well, let me see here. Let's check what the questions. Oh, my God. There's so many questions in here about this head. I don't know where to begin, but I got you on the line. So here's one for you. Father Ray, how long have you been in the Bigfoot research business?
I have been with you, Tom, since 2007, but you say we've been together since 2004. So
that's correct.
That would be 18 years.
That's a long time, believe me. And you've seen a lot and been a part of a lot of what we've done, haven't you?
I have.
Okay. So here it is. The same person wants to know, what was your most exciting experience when you were on expedition with us?
Exciting. I thought the most interesting one was when we were on the San Juan River with J.C. Johnson and traveling along, and he found there was an island in the river, and JC was looking for, we were looking for footprints for Bigfoot, but he also said that there was an amphibious snake kind of creature that would crawl on the ground but also go into the water. And this creature was 18 feet long. Didn't see it, but I'd say that was the most. Here's another adventure, again with J.C. Johnson. He called me and asked me to go to a house where some people, the family, apparently there was some dabbling in the occult, and a creature, a cabacura, apparently would jump down from the Shannon Bluffs and would knock, or Bigfoot would knock on the window. And so JC asked me to come, and when I was there, we saw evidence of something banging against a truck that was there, a dent in a trunk. And so I advised they have nothing more to do with the occult, and I blessed the house. And that would be exciting. That would be interesting.
By the way, I'm kind of curious about that thing that's like a spider or a lizard that you were, talked to me about this week that somebody turned you on to. Why don't you tell our listeners what that's all about?
Oh, again, J.C. Johnson, God have mercy on him, he spoke about this this creature. It's a lizard that has a crown around its neck, and this lizard can run on 2 feet. When it does, it could be anywhere from 2 feet to 4 feet tall. And supposedly, when it runs, it spits. It spits a. I've heard two different variations of this. That it spits, and its spittle is can be paralyzing if it hits it. The other version I've heard is again that it's that this thing will crawl up on your back and get on your head and urinate on you, and that will paralyze you. So either way, it excretes something and on you and paralyzes you, and J.C. Johnson was the instigator of this. Talking about various unusual creatures. Bruce Shook wants to come out, and he wants to go and find this. Now, I was told that this was in a particular area of the Navajo Nation in Coyote Canyon, which I've been to. There's a chapel there, and I've celebrated Mass there. I've taken Navajo lessons there. So Saturday, there was a woman who I asked to come to my house, and she cleaned my house with her daughter. And we were talking, and they were talking about marriage and marriage situation and getting married and not being married and all. And in the course of this conversation, it was Gurren to ask, "Where do you live?" And when her common-law husband said, "In Coyote Canyon," and I said, "Oh, have you experienced the running lizard?" And he, "Yeah, he's seen, and it's there." But the elders tell them, "Leave them alone," because he said they'll supposedly, if you bother them, they will run up on your back and sit on your head and urinate on you, and that's bad. But I've heard stories also of people that were there in that area, and either on ATVs or on horse or something, running away from the creature, and the creature runs after them, but they don't catch them because they're on ATV or on horseback. So later on, it clicked, and I said, "Oh, I don't know if Tom would be interested in this. It's not Bigfoot, but it's another extraordinary."
It's another mystery and an unknown, and that's good. We love keep them coming, Father Ray. Listen, after the at the time that this guy Soul was supposed to show up. Lady Kim, are you there?
Yes, sir, I am here.
Did you give him a call and maybe he fell asleep or something?
I have not, but I will be happy to do so right now.
And why don't you do that and see if he's coming on? If not, I'm going to talk with Doyle for a little bit and the rest of our guests, okay?
Yes,
so if
sir.
He's on, you call me back, all right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thanks. All right, Ray, go back to washing your dishes, and thanks for your input tonight. Doyle, let's get back to you out there. How has things changed out in Tennessee? Where are you today? Kentucky, Tennessee?
I've been in Kentucky most of the day, but now I'm back in Tennessee to settle down for the night.
Okay. I think that's
but it's not like it sounds like a journey, but it's just a matter of like 8 miles. So.
Yeah, I love being on a border, and that's what they do up there in Farmington. They're, you know, that's the four points. You can see four states, and I guess you go 2 miles this way, a mile this way, 3 miles the other way, and 4 miles the other way. You're in four different states there in a matter of so many seconds or minutes. It's really something else. Oh, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I wanted to put a big shout-out to my good buddy, Alan. He's the president, or was the president, of the Electricians Union of the IBEW 332. And thank you guys for what you do. And I didn't know. The IBEW, ladies and gentlemen, it's the International Brotherhood of the Electricians Union, okay? And they've got, believe it or not, a little bit more than three quarters of a million electricians around the globe that are unionized. These guys are phenomenal. Thank you for what you do, Alan, and I hope you do something for my nephew. Doyle, what's going on with the oil prices now and everything else around there? Have they come down?
Diesel went up a little bit, but gasoline's still around $3.79 a gallon for the cheap stuff here.
$3.79?
Yep. It's what I put gas in the car yesterday. I filled one up, and it was
I never asked the Swede. Beard of Knowledge, how much gas over there in Arkansas? Swede, I guess, went to sleep. Swede, you there? That's okay. He's been up since 3 o'clock in the morning, ladies and gentlemen, poor guy. Father Ray, how much is the gas by you in New Mexico? Swede, you there?
Yeah, I am. I was muted.
That's okay. What's gas over there by you in Arkansas?
Same as Doyle, $3.79, diesel about $4.30.
Really? You know, let me ask you something. Both of you guys are pretty smart. And it blows my mind because I must be one stupid son of a bitch. But where I live right now, it's the cheapest gas you can get anywhere is $6.19. So
Wow. Does
it cost that much to be almost $3 a gallon more to drive from Arkansas to here? Oh, wait a minute. New Mexico. Father Ray, how much is the gas by you?
What was that, Tom?
How much is gas by you?
I just filled up my tank yesterday at Speedway in Gallup. $3.99.9 per gallon for unleaded regular.
Wow, and yours is even more expensive. So it looks like the closer you get towards the west, that the more expensive this crap's going. What's your guess on this, Swede? What's going to happen?
Well, our situation is that we have those, in the same for Doyle, we have those dreaded pipelines, those terrible pipelines that just, you know, pollute all the everything and destroy everything coming right from the refineries right to northwest Arkansas. And in turn, we turn around from the mother well, which we produce a huge amount of gas that was discovered, natural gas that was discovered in Ozark, Arkansas, that takes care of, I don't know, untold cubic feet for the last 35 years, going right back down to Texas to help them out. So that's why we have a good fuel supply plus trucking is closer too. But the pipelines that we have in the ground that go here and the ones that transverse the Mississippi River and go to Tennessee and that way have been established for a long, long time. On your behalf, they don't want to put any pipelines in the ground over there, so everything has to be trucked. And they, and of course, they between the road tax, the rubber tax, the tank tax, the gas tax, and every other tax they can tag on it, you pay for it.
Yeah, no. I get it. Ladies and gentlemen, the guy I announced sold. It just goes into voicemail. Lady Kim tried to do her thing and get him, and he's just not popping up. Maybe he had an emergency. I don't know. I can't talk for others. I can only talk for myself because I'm old school, like Doyle, like you, Swede, like the rock star, like Father Ray and Travis. You know, our words are our bond, man. I mean, that's all we got left. That's all we've got left. And the key to it is these young kids today, it's all a joke to what they do and how they portray themselves. I mean, I got to share this with you, Sweet. You love this. And Doyle, I'm sure, will love it too. Of course, Rocky, if you're still listening. Guy calls me up and he goes, "Sup?" What? Sup, dude? What are you talking about? Sup, dude? I comprehend what he's trying to tell me. He says, "Well, is this Tom Biscardi?" And I said, "What the fuck language are you? What are you speaking, dude?" He goes, "Sup, motherfucker!" Just like that. I says, "Really?" I says, "You know what? I know who you are." He says, "Yeah, who am I?" I said, "I was at Denny's yesterday, and you were the guy that came up there with the mohawk with all those different colors in your hair." And I says, "How old are you?" He said, 26. I says, "Well, now I'm okay because I thought I fucked a peacock 26 years ago, but I guess it was your mother." I got so pissed, guys. And forget the language. I don't mean to curse or anything like that, but I'm sorry, man. I don't know. Is our school system teaching these people this stuff? I don't know.
I don't know. Tom, I've got a little story for you real quick. The same kind of thing happened. I had a very disrespectful young man, about the same situation you've got, which my kids are all American, blue-blooded, God-fearing Republicans. And they're good boys. They keep their hair cut right. They don't tattoo. They don't pierce or do anything like that. And they're good kids, just good, smart, really smart kids. I mean, even my youngest son, he was accepted to Harvard for aerospace, you know. And but I had this one kid, and for some reason, he thought that he should tell me about his sex life. And I didn't ask him. I didn't care about it. And he says, "You know," he said, "other than my sister and my mother," he said, "I've screwed every girl in this county." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I guess between me and you, we got them all, didn't we?"
Oh, Lord. It just keeps on getting better, doesn't it? You know, I got to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. It's freaking me out, okay? Because I'm getting calls now because remember how I used to do current events at the top of the hour and everything? They're all saying, "Hey, Mr. Biscardi, how come you don't do that anymore?" And I said, "Well, because we're a Bigfoot show." And, you know, I says, "I know it pisses me off and about the gas prices and this war shit that's going on and everything else." And all I'm hearing now, they're saying, "Do you want to take bets before we have how long it's going to be before we have World War III?" What do you say on that, Swede?
Well, I think that all the people in the know that there's not going to be a World War III. I think that
I think that the saber rattling is yeah, there's a lot of bombs going off and there's a lot of fighting going on over there. But as you know, everybody knows that once you touch off that, if you touch off the big red button, that there'll be nothing but a big pile of glass soon after. So, you know, a lot of people like to throw threats and this, that, and the other. I don't think it'll go any further than chemical warfare. And, of course, you know, they'll be trying to blame everybody else for that. There'll be some kind of chemicals unleashed. Unfortunately, on innocent people, I believe that'll probably happen. But I don't think it'll ever – and if it does, then, you know, if it does go to World War III, it'll be flat-out nuclear. And, you know, I'd like to say to everybody out there and all my friends in the Bigfoot world, it was really nice to know you, and hopefully I'll see you in heaven.
Sweet. I didn't ever think you'd give up that quick. Shit.
Well,
I've got an idea.
Tell me, what's your idea, Joel?
Instead of spending all the billions and billions and billions of dollars wrapping up the military and putting them all across the borders everywhere across the world and everything.
I really can't hear you. You're. I don't know if you're on speaker or what.
No, I'm good. I don't know. I don't understand. But if you can hear me at all, let's just do this. Let's take all these world leaders who are threatening all this war and everything.
Okay.
Instead of spending all of our money, tax money, on these wars and all this military buildup, let's just put a $2 billion bounty on every head of every piece of shit out there that's trying to cause this world problems. And I promise you, members of their own cabinet will do it, and we'll move them to America. We'll have SEAL Team 6 extricate them after they do the deed, and we'll bring them to America, put them in a nice beachfront home with $2 billion in the bank, and they can live like a king. How's that sound, Tom?
That'll be the day Breeze is over. But you know what? I'm getting so many. Man, you ain't going to believe this. Mr. B, did you say that the rock star is listening tonight? Can you think you can get him to say hello or just a few words? And then he goes, well, wait a minute. The rock star could never just say a few words. Rocky, are you there? If you're on and you've got it in you, buddy, can you come and say something to your loyal listeners around the globe, buddy?
Hey, everybody.
Here he is, folks. Did you hear that? Hey, everybody. Do you want to say anything to him, Rock?
Well, I would like to, but, you know, I'm coughing up hairballs. So... I'm glad to hear y'all though. I miss everybody. And Miss Kimberly, you need to call me. Everything's good. Like I say, this is the first chance I've got to listen to the show. I miss y'all. And I'm ready to go Bigfoot hunting.
Okay. And we're ready to pick you up, because I'll tell you right now, we're getting real close. I got thrown off kilter a little bit, Rocky, because I didn't know what was going to happen with Doyle. But, you know, he was supposed to have his surgery 2 days ago. But maybe, Doyle, would you share it with Rocky and tell us what happened?
Yeah, apparently you can be too sick to be sick. I don't understand that, but I went through pre-anesthesia screening, and I've got a real bad habit of every time I go under anesthesia, I like to die. And so they've decided, instead of doing a day surgery, an in-and-out type one-day procedure, they're wanting to admit me back to the University of Tennessee Hospital and do it as an inpatient major OR type surgery, so that they'll have access to ventilators and ICU and all that if something does go wrong. So they're going to reschedule me, and whenever they do, I'm hoping everything will go okay. But Don't worry about me. I'm saved up and prayed up, brother.
Well, yeah, Rocky, let me hold on just for 1 second. We'll get you in here. We'll have you close the show for us. But, you know, your fan base, Doyle, has been over the top. And all these Phillies are wondering, because they're all yelling at me, okay? Well, how come you're not telling us what's going on? Did everything go okay? Is he alive? Is he getting better? Does he need anything? So would you please do me, first of all, let me preempt this. Ladies and gentlemen around the globe, especially his cheerleading squad of Phillies that are out there, Doyle will tell you in his own verbiage right now where he is, what's happening, and what's going to happen to him, and how his standings are right now. You got the floor, Doyle.
The only thing I've got to say is everybody just keep me in your prayers out there, my family, and all my Phillies. We love y'all. Don't get me wrong. I'm still here. And if you ever get bored or lonely, just give me a call. We'll talk. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Every day above dirt is a good day for me, and I love it.
That's for you and many others. Believe me. Believe me. You know, I've got to tell you guys around the globe how this night has made me feel so much better. It's like a big lift off of my shoulder, this heaviness that I've been feeling. And, you know, I've been, as you know, last week ago today, I buried my sister and then Rocky. You know, we got all this turmoil going on with him, but I know he's a fighter, and I haven't really bothered him too much. But his brother from another mother, thank you, sweet, for what you do each and every day. And this man, he lives in Arkansas with him, ladies and gentlemen. Robert is his real name. We all call him Sweet. That's where he comes from. I mean, he's one of those guys with those boats, those wooden boats, and he's got those, I don't know what the hell kind of chaps they are, and then that big swords and all the other shit. And he looks like one of those guys, too, but... he's got a heart of gold, and he's always there to help. And, boy, he sure does with my brother, Rocky, believe me. And it was a close going on here with him because we didn't know what we were going to do, you know, shit or go blind, because he's been such a part of us and part of our lives. But here he is. You just heard him live, and it's not Memorex. It's live, and... what do you want to say about it? Rock, Swede, tell me.
It's all good, Tom. I've been kind of tied up with stuff and everything else. And I'll tell you what, you know, I know you went through some trials, and everybody does. Doyle's got stuff going on. Everybody's got it going on. And, you know, we just stayed the course. And, you know, and as far as your comment you said about me giving, you were surprised that I was giving up. It wasn't about giving up. There's going to be a hell of a fight, but I'll see you in heaven one day. That's all I can say.
You know, I listened to what you had said about your wife, okay, earlier when we talked. And,
yeah.
When I got up and I said, did I really hear right what he said? And can you share that with the people around the globe about your wife? And what she'd do, and with the gun situation and all that shit.
Oh, just me and Tom were talking. We were talking about the and Rocky. We've all talked about this, about the thing about, you know, loss in a family and how it goes, and either it goes real good or it goes real bad, and you know, you have outside influence, you know, circling around like a bunch of buzzards. And. And I told Tom, I said, yeah, when I die, I said, you know, it's unfortunate if I pass away. I said, my wife's going to have to go to jail. Tom said, what? And I said, yeah, when them buzzards start circling, my wife's going to end up having to go to jail because she's going to start shooting them all down. And that's kind of the way it flows around here in Arkansas sometimes. You know, it just works out that way, you know.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've learned a long time ago since I met these two guys. Rocky was the one I met in the beginning, and he's become very close with me. And then through him, I met the Swede, and going to find out it's leaf doesn't fall far from the tree. It's two peas in a pod with these two guys, and I'm so blessed that I'm in the fold with both of them, because their thinking, their lives, where they come from, their rearing, is all pretty close to the same way I was brought up. And I'll tell you later, we're all not too far in age, the three of us, but we made it this far. And so we must have been doing something right. Isn't that right, Rocky?
That's right.
And we could talk the story about the trials and tribulations of life, as you also said, Swede. I it's blown my mind as each year goes by, ladies and gentlemen. We go through and we found illness, we found all kinds of sickness, we found deaths, we found situations where people were displaced. But then, you know, what really blows my mind, Father Ray comes along, and Father Ray talks about his blessings, okay? And it means so much to me and everybody else. And you know what, Travis, I want to thank you tonight for being with us. You're part of our fold, and welcome to the world of Sasquatch. I know that you're still on listening with us, and I hope to God that in the next few days, next week or two, that we get put a close to this thing, or we get an issue on it that we know exactly what it is. But again, I can't do nothing until you send me the piece. But in case you get it before I do and you find out, please let us know, because we're going to be speaking about the 20th of next month now, and we're going to be coming out shooting a film. So I'd like to come out and put you in our last film, or the last one that I'm going to be doing, called Monsters, Myths, and Mysteries. And do I have you okay on that?
Yes, sir. And I'll definitely get that sent to you this week.
That's wonderful. And you guys heard it around the globe. Mr. Travis says okay, and we're welcome out there by you. What town
yes,
are you in?
Hiawassee. It's right
what
up the North Carolina line. Hiawassee, Georgia. It's right at the North Carolina line.
Hiawassee. Okay. All right. Do you know where that is, Doyle? I think Doyle's engaging in some of that fruit of the wine.
No. I was just muted. I drive through Hiawassee all the time. We travel a lot, and we drive through there, and I'm always all over the Carolinas and Georgia and Florida and just Alabama and all these places. And just want to say one thing. Rocky, you said you was coughing up hairballs. All that is from where you whooped that grizzly bear at the time. You're still coughing up grizzly bear hair, buddy.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Listen, greetings, salutations, and Father Ray, would you like to go out with a prayer? Father Ray, you still doing those dishes? Raymond.
Yo.
Give us a prayer on the way out right now.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Loving God, you reveal to us the mysteries of your creation and that there are more mysteries yet to be discovered. You open our minds and our eyes to the wonders of your creation and that there are more things that we don't know about, but you reveal to us. Please help us to be open to these things. Help us to be charitable to one another and to encourage each other, try to understand each other, and help in whatever way we can. We may ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I want to thank Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I want to thank Travis,
amen,
Doyle, Swede, Father Ray, and, of course, my co-star, the rock star himself. We've all heard him. And none of this would have been possible, ladies and gentlemen, without Lady Kim. Lady Kim, kudos.
Thank you.
Salutations.
Thank you, Tom.
Till next time, America. Bye.
Good night. God bless everybody from Kentucky.
There you go.
Good night, everybody. Good to hear you, Dole. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Father Ray.
Good night.
Is that the Rocky still on?
Yes, ma'am.
It is Rocky. Hey, Rocky. How are you, man?
I'm better. I'm better.
Good to hear from you, Rocky, buddy. I miss talking to you.
Well, it's I've had a rough go, and they said better not get too excited about doing much of anything for a while, but all things considered, you know, I'm still on the on top instead of underneath. So,
well, that's always good news. Yeah,
Miss Kim.
Okay, we will talk another time because I'm in Florida. So right now it's 11 o'clock at night for me.
Okay.
And my day starts at 5, so.
Text me your phone
Rock,
number.
You hang in there, buddy. You're tougher than Tarzan's feet. I know you are.
I do. All right, gentlemen. Yeah, it's 408-892-09. Okay, I'll text it to you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rocky.
Thanks for taking care of this motley crew.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, but I wish it was for different reasons.
all right, good.
Gentlemen, good night to you both.
Good night.
Good night, Miss Kimberly.
Thank you, Doyle. Good night. Hang up.